Thank you.
Oh, man. Look at the love. Dang. Y'all didn't have to do that, but I appreciate it. Oh, my gosh. I'm feeling so loved tonight, y'all. It feels so good to be loved because I love y'all. Oh, man. A lot of emotions right now, you know. I was like, why did they do this before I speak? I don't want to be up there weeping. Come on now. I'm a grown man. I cried last year, and some student told me, they said, I saw your man tears. I was like, you might see him again tonight. No. Oh, man, I'm so excited to be here, and I'm excited to share what I believe God has on my heart today. It's all right if we just pray. I know I'm going to be sharing my story with you guys, and, you know, for some of you guys who have heard, have a student that I've been able to love on, you've heard, and you may have heard it through the grapevine, maybe, maybe not, and I get to share kind of like what God has brought me and my wife to. But, man, I'm eager for God to do something tonight in every one of us. Anytime I get an opportunity to speak or to share, man, my desire isn't for me to have the best lingo or the best bottom line, but it's for God to respond and for us to encounter him in a powerful way, in a tangible way. So that's what I'm eager for tonight. So it's all right if we just pray before we just get started. Is that okay? And we just kind of, I tell my students all the time, I do this, man, let's ready our hearts. Just ready the heart area. Just begin to till the soil of our hearts to receive from what God is going to give to us tonight and deposit into us tonight. So Jesus, I thank you. God, I thank you for who you are. God, I thank you for your word, God, and what you're going to share tonight. Lord, I thank you for your grace, God, your goodness, even as we sing about it today. God, you are good. The king of our heart, the king that we've surrendered that throne of our heart to, you are good. So Jesus, tonight, have your way. Have your way. It's in your name that I pray. Say amen. Amen. There's one person that I just want to just honor really quickly, and she's going to hate me for this, but is Courtney, can you stand up, please, Court? Can you just, come on, please, real quick, just real quick. Yes. Tell my students all the time, make sure you marry somebody who's your rock. You need a rock. You need a woman with a firm foundation. And I found mine. And if there's anything that, you know, people have seen in me, it's only because of her. She's an amazing, amazing woman. And I know people who know her know that. But, man, I'm so thankful for my boo thing over there, as I call him. All right. So it's weird because usually I'm up here, I'm usually rapping. So I feel like I need like a beat behind me or something, but we're going to work it out. We're going to be okay. Somebody was like, you can rap for 20 minutes. It's like, all right, well, now I'm going to stick to the word. So if you do have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Acts chapter 17. That's where we're going to be at tonight. Acts chapter 17, if you got them on your device or if you actually carry a Bible, you can whip that thing out. We'll be in Acts chapter 17, and we're going to be starting at verse 24, and we're just going to read verses 24 to 27. But before, while you guys are all getting there, I'll kind of share where we're at in that scripture really quickly. So this is going to be Paul speaking that we're going to be talking about. And Paul is having a couple of bad days. You know you're having a bad day when you preach a sermon and then people try to kill you, right? So Paul is having a couple of bad days. So he goes to Thessalonica. He preaches there in the synagogues. The Jews get jealous there, so they start up a ruckus. They try to get him. So Paul, he steps out and he leaves that place. He goes to Berea. So he preaches there, and there's noble Jews there, right? And they accepted him. Then the people back in Thessalonica heard he was preaching there. So they came from Thessalonica and went to Berea, and then they tried to kill him there too, right? So then he leaves from that place. Then he goes over to Athens, and so he's waiting for his comrades over in Athens. And so while he's there waiting for his people to come, he looks into the city. And I'm going to read verse 16 for you guys. For what Paul sees. It says, now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him. And he saw that city was full of idols. All right, so he didn't go to Athens for, you know, missionary purposes. He went there because he's fleeing, people trying to get at him. But as he's sitting there, he's waiting. He looks into the city of Athens, and he sees that the city is full of idols, and something in him, stirs. He sees the idols that people are serving, the things that people have made, they're serving, and something in his spirit is provoked and he's moved. And so he begins to go into Athens and he begins to do his routine where he goes in the synagogues and he begins preaching and all these different things. So the people in Athens are like, all right, we haven't really heard this before. All right, this is something new. So we want to bring you over to our council and we want you to share what you're talking about. All right, so Paul gets before the council of the people, and they're like, all right, you know, come on and share what you're talking about. Explain to us what you're, this God that you're talking about, this God of the gospel, you're talking about resurrection and all these different things. I want you to tell us what you're talking about. So in Paul's explanation of these people who hadn't heard the God of the gospel, his explanation of who this God is lies in verses 24 through 27. This is what we're going to read together right now. Starting in verse 24, this is Paul proclaiming to the people who God is. And it says, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. Yeah, we'll stop right there for where we are. So in Paul's description of this God that they had never heard before, as I was reading that, man, you kind of get these two extremes from Paul, okay? So on this one side, you have Paul begin to declare who God is, right? The greatness of this God, right? He's the God, he's the creator of all things. He's the Lord of heaven. That he doesn't need anything from us. In fact, he's the one that has given us life and breath and everything. He's the one that set everything into motion. There's this great God that he begins to describe and proclaim. This great God. And so it's so funny when you talk about the greatness of God, because when you begin to look at who he is and all that he is, sometimes you almost want to separate yourself. Right? I mean, that's not who we, but sometimes you're like, oh God, you're so great. I don't know. I want to step back because you're so good. You're so holy. You're so perfect. I almost want to separate myself. And so many times in humanity, just us as people, right? When we become great, right? When we ascend the ladder of life, right? When we gain money or popularity or status, we begin to separate ourselves from those who we deem not as worthy anymore, right? Not all the time. I'm not saying this for everybody as an all-out fact, but so many times, and you students probably see it in school, they probably had a best friend, then their best friend got cool, and then they're not best friends anymore, right? And we see that as adults too, actually. but there's this thing that happens in us when we get greatness put on us, we sometimes begin to, I'm in a different clout now. I'm at a higher level. And so when you look at this great God, when angels see him, when they see his glory, all they can say is holy, holy, holy for eternity. When they see his glory, when they see him on his throne, all they can say, man, is holy, holy, holy are you, God. There's nothing like you. You're so other than. You're just holy. I mean, these are beings who have observed from the beginning of time to now, and all I can say when they look at this God is holy, holy, holy. But then in the same breath as Paul is describing the greatness of this God who set everything in motion, who gave mankind not just the ability to breathe, but life and everything, this great God, he comes back and there's this extreme closeness of this same God. This extreme closeness of the same God. Let's read down in verse 26. We'll start there. It says, having determined allotted periods in the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. In our ability to reach toward him, in our ability, in our brokenness, in our trying, we find that God is so close. He's right here. This God who we would say, even when Peter saw Jesus do that miracle, he fell on his face and said, man, be apart from me. Because you recognize, man, there's something other than with this Jesus. But it's the same Jesus that says, I'm not afraid of your sin. I'm not afraid of who you are. I'm coming close. Because in fact, when you separate from me, you're in dire straits. You need to come closer. You need to take a step closer into me. Oh, this close God. He is a good God. Ooh, sorry, guys. So in all of our seeking and all of our trying, man, we find this truth, man, that so many people are trying. I see people trying every day. Man, I just want to hear from him. I just need this. I want to feel him. Man, what we find to be a truth is when we try, when we step forward, man, he is close. And we find this even more as we read through scripture, is that God is the one that has taken those first steps. He's the one who has delighted in coming close to us. I mean, he had to come close for us to be able to take a step and then find him. He's got to come close for that to happen. Because of his greatness, this is where he is. But he says, when you take a step, when you try, when you walk, you're going to find me. So that means from his greatness, he had to step close. He had to take a step close. He had to come close to you. Hold the desire of our God, the affection that he has for us. Leads the psalmist to say, why are you mindful of me? Why? Because it's mind-boggling. The great love of our God, that he would come close to us in all of our brokenness, in all of our trying and feeling that we can't do this on our own. He comes close to us. And he has a purpose. He has a purpose in his coming. To every situation that he arrives to, man, his desire is to redeem it. When he steps into the story of our life, man, he wants to bring that place into a direction of redemption. Every time, as you read throughout scripture, every time that he came to someone, and it was a leader, someone he was going to make a leader, man, he was coming to redeem a situation, to take it from going this way and making it go that way. He always came to us. You can start with Adam in the garden as he hid, as he had sinned. It was God that went to him. You can take it to Abraham, off in a foreign land serving pagan gods. It was God that went to him. Man, you can take it and keep going. You can go to Gideon, hiding, trying to make some bread. It was God that went to him. It's God that goes to Moses, this murderer that's fled in the desert. It's God that goes to him. Every time in every story that we read and we say, oh man, it's so great, it's so mighty, it's because God came close. It's because he invaded. He stepped in and said, no, you're going this way. I've got this plan for you. I want you to go this other way. God coming close and the broken people in his grace and in his love. I mean, I can preach all day, and the students can attest to this, that I say, that I never get tired of the gospel. I'll never get tired of preaching about Jesus. I'll never get tired of the story that says that he left the throne, that he left a place where he was in majesty, a place where he was in his glory. And then it says that he put on flesh. He put on flesh, and he came to earth for the purpose of redeeming us, a thing we couldn't do on our own. He lived a perfect, sinless life for us. He died the death we should have died, lived the life we couldn't live. It'll never get old. It'll always stir my heart that this God greatly invaded the earth. He looked at the earth and said, oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love this world that I'm willing to die for you. I am coming close to this broken world. And when I step in, oh, it's going to be redeemed. Things are going to change. That wall that was between us is going to be broken down, and you're going to be able to come close. I love the fact that when Jesus died, it doesn't say that the veil was just pushed apart. It says it was torn into two. no longer separated. Jesus said, I'm coming close. In fact, man, I'm coming to live inside of you. This God wants to come close to us and redeem us and make us new and change our situation, bring us into redemption. This is a good God that we serve. When I look at the character of who God is, I mean, I can look at scripture and I can see the character and the faithfulness of God that he's revealed all throughout time. And then I can look at my life and I can look at the life of those who I love and I can see the character of God and his faithfulness and his goodness, man, his steadfastness, his desire to not let me go even when I'm trying to. I can see the character of God. Oh, he's so close to us. Oh, man, what a good God. I'm shaking, y'all. Woo. Excuse me. So in every story that God ever came to, every story that he ever came to changed. We talked about Moses and Abraham and Gideon, every person that he went out to, the story was changed when they did one thing. It's so simple. I mean, God makes it so simple for us, but it's like the hardest thing to do. When he went to Moses, when he went to Abraham, when he went to Gideon, they had to do one thing. They had to say yes, and they had to surrender. In every story, there had to be a yes. Choose me. There had to be a yes, and there had to be a surrendered heart. In every story, then we see how Abraham became the father of the faith when he said yes and surrender. We saw Moses lead his people out of enslavement as he said yes and surrender. Gideon, going with 300 against thousands, said yes and surrender. A yes and a surrendered heart, man, is what God, man, God could do some great things with that. And it's a difficult thing to do, to lay down everything, to lay everything at the feet of Jesus, every part of my life, every part of my being, and say, you tell me to pick up what I need to pick up. But again, it's the reason why we can sing, you're never gonna let me down, because what? He's the king of my heart. This thing is first. He's the king of my heart. And now I can say, you're never gonna let me down because you're the king. I'm in your kingdom. I'm receiving everything from your kingdom. So I know you'll never let me down because I've surrendered my heart. I'm no longer on the throne of my heart. I've said yes and I've surrendered. Now I can declare you are good and you're never going to let me down. Saying yes and surrendering. Saying yes and surrendering. And I feel like there's some people in the room that's ready to do it right now. I might be wrong, but whew, maybe it's just me. I'll take it. But now I get to kind of invite you into my story a little bit of why I'm here and just the story of my life. If you know me, some of my youth have heard some of these things. I've got to share with them already, but I just want to kind of share with you just the moments of my life where, man, this God was so close to me. And I want to identify something about God that, man, he's a God of grace. Because sometimes we're not even seeking. You know, sometimes I'm not fasting for something. But in his grace and in his love, he still comes. And I'm not saying don't fast and don't pray. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that God is good. All right? So for me, it begins, man, as a little boy. As a little boy, it begins with God and me. My grandmother just newly saved. You know, I was in an incubator having trouble breathing. I was in there for a couple weeks after I was born. And my grandma went before the church back home. And she said, you know, my baby, he's sick and he needs to be healed. Church got around her and they laid hands on her. And that instant, I was healed. Yeah, all glory to God. And then it continued on for the rest of my life where, man, God was so close. He was so close as a 9-year-old boy where things are so difficult to understand. But I'm telling you, and you guys have kind of heard my story of me of my father not being in my life, but as a broken young boy, wondering why my father left, signed a birth certificate when I was just a boy and left. Me wondering, man, what did I do to not earn this love? Battling in between hate and anger, battling between these things, God came into my life. He said, I can help you forgive your father. I can help you with that. So it was in that moment that I could hold on to my bitterness and my anger. Or, man, I can let go and hold on to God. So in that moment, I said yes. I don't even know if I fully understood the scope of what was going to happen in my life and how God was going to change it, how he would bring even more fathers into my life. I didn't understand it at that moment, but at that time I knew in my heart I wanted to say yes and I wanted to surrender. And you guys know the backstory of that. God is so good. He brought me two men into my life that would raise me and make me into the man that you see standing before you. Then I'm telling you, as a high school student, God asked me to surrender. I was playing football. Status was the thing. Popularity was the thing. We were like state champions, you know, so you think you're big and bad. God asked me to surrender status, popularity, to declare who he was in my school. In that moment, I said, yes, I surrendered. I remember being a senior in high school. Man, and there was something burning in me from the time I was young. Man, I wanted to save my city. And I felt like God had put that and planted that into my heart. I wanted to minister there. I was doing different things. And I was like, man, this is it. I'm so ready to take this city. God, we're going to change it by your power and your glory. And God was like, are you ready? I was like, God, I'm ready. He said, go to Missouri. What, God? No. But I said yes, and I surrendered. And now I stand before you. Well, just a few months ago in May, I was at a prayer summit conference, and literally I had four people pray over me the same exact thing, almost the same words verbatim. It's like, okay, God, get it, got it. You can stop, or just keep going. It's your will, Lord. But just in a moment between me and him, God clearly spoke to me. He said, Romeo, I beckon you to the water. I'm calling you to step out from the boat and step on the water and be with me where I am. I beckon you to the water. And in that moment, I didn't even know what that meant. But I got on my knees and I said, yes. God, my life is yours. My steps are yours. Have your way. The very next day, I got a picture in my mind, which you can attest, my wife can attest to this. I don't get visions and things like that a lot. She does. I'm kind of jealous, right? But I got this picture in my mind. It was me standing on a boat, and I didn't see Jesus, but I knew he was out there on the water. And we didn't say anything, but I knew what he was asking. Step out on the water. Be with me where I am. I beckon you. And so just through prayer, through spending time with people who love me, and I began to remember all the different words that God has said this past year. And one of them was my good friend Eddie. He began to speak, and this was at the beginning of this year. He said, man, I've been meaning to share something with you, you know, but, you know, I hadn't, but I want to share it with you now. He called me up and he told me, he said, man, God has said, man, you've been working hard. Your head's been down and you've been working hard, and he's so proud of you. But he says, now it's time to look up. It's time to look up and start dreaming again. The dreams that you thought were dead, I'm awakening. So in that moment, after that in May, everything began to rush back when I was a sophomore in college. And God said to me, Romy, I'm going to send you into the desert for a while, and I'm going to bring you back for a great work. Everything came rushing back, and I began to realize what was happening, that God was asking us to take a step away from our position at Hope so we can get ready, so we can get ready for what's to be accomplished in New Jersey. And that very following Sunday, this was on a Thursday, that Sunday I walked in here, and I wasn't even planning to stay. I had to do some stuff for the eighth graders. Love you guys. Ninth graders now. I love all of you guys. I was doing something for the eighth graders then, and I was going to leave out. And I walked in, and Josh was singing He'll Be Faithful song. Faithful to the end, he will finish what he started. And as I walked into the room, God just hit me so hard. I don't know if I've ever been drunk in the spirit, but in that moment, I think I was pretty close. And God began to work on me. I forgot that God was a minister. I forgot Jesus used to minister to people when he was on earth. And in that moment, I didn't have to say a word, that he began to minister over me. Most of you don't know this, but man, all my life, I believed I would never be good enough to be a number one. I would never be good enough to lead people. I'd never be good enough. I'll always be good enough to be number two. I'm a good support system. I would never be good enough to carry out the dream that I felt like God had placed on my heart. And in that moment back there, God began to break off all the lies that I believed over the 10 years I was here. He began to break off every lie. I could literally hear the voices that I had heard. I can literally hear what they said as God just ministered over me. I could hear it in my ears. I know it sounds weird, but I could hear it, and God was breaking them off of me. Then he began to tell me, as Joshua, I don't know if it's Joshua Charity, I don't want to lie, but somebody was singing, in me, in my town, in my church, in my family. And I was just back there, just so full of him. And he began to say for me, in you, in your town, in your church, in your family. Bringing it together. I was just back there weeping. And then he gave me another vision. Me and my wife at the front of a body water. And every time we would take a step, the water would part. Every time we would take a step, the water would part wherever we stepped. God was calling us to take a step with him. And he was going to be faithful every time we took a step to make sure those waters part, that the land was dry, beckoning us. In that moment, I knew, oh man, he's filling for a purpose, a filling to send. And I went to my wife, and she said, we weren't even together. I walked over to her, and she said, Romy, you won't believe what just happened. I had this vision that we were back in New Jersey, and this guy gave us a building, and he gave us a master key and said, I want to bless you. I about fell over, because we weren't even together. We were apart, and then we came together, and it's the first thing she said to me. Just further confirmation of what God was doing in that moment. God is so close to us. He's so close in our life. I love what Pastor Gary said this morning about being on that boat. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. He's so good to us. So I'm here to just declare to you guys the goodness of our God, the closeness of our God, the ability of our God to minister over his people. By his spirit, him alone can do it. And I know there are many like me that have struggled with believing the lies of the enemy, believing the lies of people, the things that we fight against. But man, I want to pray with you guys tonight. There's a way for us to respond. The first way is that we say yes and we surrender. And I can't read your minds, but I believe that God has been stirring up in many of us the things that we need to say yes to, the things that we need to surrender. Maybe it's a part of your destiny. Maybe he's calling you to something. I don't know. Maybe it's something you've been holding on to that you need to let go and lay down at his feet. I'm not sure. But there's a response that says, I say yes and I surrender. And there's another thing that I want to pray for people. Men who are stuck in this place and believing in lies. And hopefully we're not ashamed of that. But I believe that God is here. Man, God is here to minister to us right now. And I know I don't have a lot of time, so I'll do this. Is this okay? Man, if you want prayer, just come up. If you want prayer, just come up to the front. I just want to pray over you guys. I know it's kind of like I'm just throwing it out there. Hopefully that's okay. Man, if you want prayer, I want to pray over you guys. And I just kind of want you close to me. Is that okay? That's kind of what you close. So I want to say, if you want to say yes and surrender to something, man, come on down. If there's things in your life that you know you've been leaving it and they're a lie, please come down, because God is here right now to minister over you. Just close your eyes and ready your heart. Just ready your heart. I won't be long. And as your eyes are closed, I want to read this last thing over you that God said to me. With every head closed, who's up here? He said, Romy, fully live. Fully live. I did not die for you to walk in incompleteness. Walk fully in the person who I died for you to be. I don't speak dead words. They will accomplish what I intend for them. It only may seem dead from your standpoint, so open your eyes to truth. I bring life, abundant life. So I'm here to tell you right now that God is speaking truth over you. He's speaking truth over you. So what we're going to ask is that God would open our eyes, that he would open our ears to the reality of his truth, the reality of his closeness in our life. He's been speaking truth since the beginning of time. Oh God, would you shift our ears? And for those of you who are up here who want to say yes and you surrender, I want to challenge you right now. This is the last time I get to be up here. So I'm going to challenge you to lay that thing down and never pick it up again. Every head bow. Jesus. Jesus, begin to cry out to him. Jesus. God, I pray over these people in the front. God, I pray for the people here. Jesus, I pray that walls would be shattered at the sound of your truth. God, let lies be shattered at the sound of your truth, God. Lord, let your truth ring in the ears, in the minds of the people here today, God. God, would you break off chains? Would you break off the lies of the enemy, oh God? Equip us, fill us with your spirit to believe again what you have said, oh God. You don't speak dead words. Oh God, you bring life, abundant life, Jesus. You only speak truth, oh God. I pray that they will crumble at the sound of your truth over them, that you love them, God, that you're close to them, that you've never left them, God. There's not anything they could do, God, that can make you step away. Jesus, that you're here right now. Oh, God, you're here now. God, we just accept your goodness. We accept your grace. God, we don't fight for it. You're a good God, and you say, I've adopted you. You're mine. You have everything. You have everything that's mine. I've given it to you. It's yours freely. It's yours freely. So I pray that they would take it, what you're giving, Jesus. Would they take it today, oh God? Would they hold it up like a banner over their lives and say, this is the truth. This is my truth because it's his. Father, I pray for those who are saying yes today, who are coming to surrender to you, Jesus. I pray above all things that they would seek you, God, to be the king of their heart. God, I pray, God, that they would let you be enthroned there in all parts of their lives. God, that they would lay down what they need to lay down. They would pick up what they need to pick up. Oh, Father, that we would surrender to you. Jesus, I thank you. You are a good God who's close. Oh, you minister to us, Jesus. You minister over us. You sing over us. You speak over us, God. We love you, Jesus. We love you. Oh, God. It's in your blessed, holy, awesome, wonderful, mighty, grateful name, God, that we say all these things and accept all these things. Your name we pray. We say, amen. So be it. Thank you, Lord. Yes, God.
I'd like to ask all staff and wives who would come up, and we want to pray over these guys. It's obvious that the hand of the Lord is on this man, and we're just awfully glad when the Lord sent him to the desert. He sent him to our desert, and he's made quite a deposit here. Courtney, where's Courtney? Courtney, there she is. Them and their little kids, I'm going to miss seeing them around here, but we don't intend to become strangers to these guys. What they're going to do out there, they're not exactly sure yet. So I'd like to engage you all in praying for those details to come together. It's a frightening thing to step out on the water, but it's an awesome thing when you've been invited, you know, and the pieces will come together. There are people back there in Jersey that are waiting for these guys. They don't know it yet, but they're waiting for these guys. And the hand of the Lord has been on them tremendously. And so please pray. Take it on as a project, just like it was yours, that this thing would come together, that building, the people, the finances, all the details that go into something like this. It's daunting, but God's a good God. He's a big God. He knows how to do stuff. And so we're going to pray over them right now. And I just invite you to stretch your hands this way. Father, we tonight just receive their ministry again, all over again, and endorse and bless. Thank you, God, for the deposit that's been laid in our laps here with our kids. As a staff, we've appreciated and loved these guys so much. And Lord, it hurts to see them go, but it is exciting to know that they're going in your will and that your plan for them is greater than they have any idea of. God, what you've spoken from the very beginning, you've not forgotten one word that you said to Romy and to Courtney. We thank you, God, that your words will never fall to the ground. And if they do fall to the ground, they come up. They're like seeds that come up. They cannot be stopped. So, Father, we thank you right now that even at this moment, there are seeds coming up in Jersey. There's somebody whose heart is heavy. There's somebody who's ready to do something significant back there. There's somebody there, God, that wants to take the hand of this man and this woman and do something amazing for their city. God, we pray that in the dark places where they know, where they've come from, where they've lived, the people and the sad stories that they've known, God, you want to make great stories out of them. You want to redeem situations. You can even redeem a whole city, God. And we pray today that you'll give them favor. As they've honored you, I pray you honor them. Don't let their words fall to the ground either. God, I pray the testimony of truth, the anointing of the Holy Spirit would literally break bars of iron over that city. Generations, oh God, of failure, generations of hatred, generations of pain, God, would melt away before this man and this woman. Lord, I pray you'd do something that would make people shudder. Amaze them, God, at how good you are. You need a man. You need a woman. You always choose people to express you. And we pray tonight, Father, that you'd go before them and make their path straight. I literally pray that the high places become low and the low places become high for a highway for them to travel on, God. Let this adventure be wonderful. We bless them tonight, Lord. We release them with great honor. They've never given us any reason not to honor them now. And I pray, God, that you'd literally bless them out of their socks. Just do it, Father. Just do it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.